This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
So I don't care who goes first, whoever wants to jump in. Let's talk about the year that was 2021.
Sure, well, I can go first. This is Jim. I think, you know, we all know this was a year the second year of COVID, and obviously we're hearing about the new strain of COVID. We're going into our third year of COVID, and I think the real important thing for people to know is that, you know, we have more and more people getting vaccinated, getting boosted, getting, you know, we're doing everything they need to do. We are seeing improvements in treatment. We're seeing improvements in the outcomes of the patient. So things are going in the right direction. You know, you don't believe everything you see on the news. There's certainly, you know, always important to be prepared for what comes next. But I think we're moving in the right direction with this. We're probably within the year, it's going to be more like the flu, where it's just something we deal with all the time.
So Omicron, as we've been told, and I'm assuming you're seeing it the same way, more prevalent, but less virulent. Is that basically what we're looking at?
That is what we're hearing. And the good news is that people have been vaccinated and gotten a booster shot. That is very effective against being hospitalized or dying of the Omicron, which is just as well as it was against the Delta variant. So we're seeing if, you know, the majority of people who have severe illness are unvaccinated and already immunocompromised. So it's, you know, and we think this is probably the direction things will keep going, is there'll be another strain that's less virulent but even more contagious, you know, and it just kind of goes like that. That's kind of where the flu has gone over the last 80 years.
From the standpoint of the hospital, in terms of how you're dealing with it, how crowded you are, are you keeping up with any demand that this put on you? Okay,
we are. You know, our hospital's got beds open right now. We're looking good. We had a little mini surge of patients, but nothing like what you might see in a St. Louis or Springfield. Our area here is actually holding pretty steady in that regard, so we're looking good. The issues sometimes within Illinois are transferring patients, you know, to a higher level of care. Some of the hospitals are pretty full, but we've got plenty of staff here to take care of folks until they get there, so we're doing okay so far.
That's terrific. Now, Dr. Furstenow, one of the biggest challenges that you've had during the course of this year has been like the roller coaster effect of up, down, changes in regulations, wear a mask, no mask, in-house, not in-house. You know, how did you guys deal with it? And what was your biggest challenge?
Well, I think, John, when you look at it, we finished in pretty good shape. When you look at our students and our parents and the community really, really supported what the school district was doing. In terms of our mitigations, in terms of our test to stay. There were some days that we were testing, you know, 50, 60 students. But the good thing is all those students were able to stay in school and be able to complete their work and continue on with their education. So we finished last Friday, and we had a fairly successful semester. We didn't have any shutdowns. We didn't have to shut any classrooms down. All of our athletic teams were able to participate and do the things that you would normally do in the high school. You know, we ran a full curriculum 5 days a week, had band, choir practices, and, had a successful semester. So we feel good in terms of where we ended up. You know, we'll just have to see what happens when we come back. But, you know, John, we deal with that every year.
Oh, yeah.
Coming off a Christmas break, whether it be, you know, when you have family together and other people together, you know, the flu, colds, whatever crud is out there comes back into the schools. And our nurses, I can't speak highly enough of Robin Engstrom and Teresa Hayes and Kendra Kirby. They kept us going. And, you know, with school nurses, I tell people they were 24/7. You know, they work on the weekends, keeping lists updated, who we have to test on Monday. and then getting ready for staff testing as well on Monday. So, you know, when we take a look back at it, it was a good semester. Yeah, masks were a challenge, but you know what? I had one young man tell me, he said, you know, Doc, if it's masks, we got this. Mm-hmm. We're in school. We had homecoming. We're planning for prom. I mean, we're open with that. We're waiting to see what Illinois Department of Public Health does. We're hoping that we may see some new guidelines that may be less restrictive to give us a little bit more control over what we're doing. I think that's important to know that I think schools have done an excellent job of running their mitigations, working well with our county health department. Another shout out to Hugh Satterley and his crew at the health department. They've been fantastic to work with. So, you know, Christmas break is here, and we're all getting rested up, and we'll be ready to roll January 4th.
That sounds great. You know, the two of you both have great responsibility, but the two of you have a couple of different challenges. For example, at the hospital, Jim, you have one facility, not 8 or 10 or however many that you're dealing with, Dr. Furstenau. But you have the challenge of, instead of the same number of people and the same people coming in every day being in that one location, right, you have the challenge of the public coming in and out of doors all day long. Mm-hmm. So your challenge is different than your challenge, and you both literally spend your whole day dealing with the challenges. Isn't that the truth?
Well, I think I like to think of the challenges as that's the fun part of our job, really, the dealing with, you know, the ups and downs. That's what makes life interesting, you know, and for us, you know, we're used to that at a hospital, going up and down. We staff accordingly, and really we have seen more and more people coming back, and mainly in our outpatient areas. We're really seeing high numbers of people that are returning and having their routine exams. They're seeing their doctors, so they're getting their normal lab tests, diagnostic tests. That's where we've seen the largest surge of patients other than the emergency room. And in a way, that I'm very happy about that, because it means people are returning to normal health practices that they need to.
So now when people come to the hospital, and I know you have signs up, but maybe here will be an opportunity to say, here's what the rules are as they're in place at this particular time. So if somebody wants to come visit, or somebody needs to come for a procedure, what are the things they need to know before they get out of the car in a parking lot?
Sure. So if you're coming in as an outpatient for a procedure or a test, you can bring a visitor with you. A lot of people don't, because they're just having a routine test. We are required by the Center for Disease Control to make everyone wear a mask, unless for some reason they can't. But anyone over 2 years old has to be masked in any healthcare facility. That's the law now.
Okay.
And then, but we're still treating everyone just the same. Our waiting rooms are, you know, the distancing is in place. We have barriers in place and all of that. So because of those things, we're able to kind of operate like we normally would, just masks included. And we are required by the state to screen every person who walks in the door for COVID symptoms, and then again for their temperature. And the good thing is we do have the automatic temperature and symptoms sensor, so you can either talk to the person at the desk, or if they're busy, you can use the automatic.
Oh, okay. So, which is kind of like a metal detector that you pass through?
You stand in front of the screen, and it kind of takes a picture of you like an iPad,
okay,
and it asks you, you know, do you have these symptoms? You answer a couple simple questions, and then it says hold still for a second. It takes your temperature through it with thermal imaging, and then it prints out your sticker that says you've been checked, and you wear your sticker into the hospital. So it's really easy.
Terrific. Now, your situation, your challenges are different in the fact that I guess you can't do it yourself, but you have to have a certain amount of policing, I guess you would call it. That's a harsh word, but for all the different locations. Has that presented any challenges at any point during the course of the year?
You know, we've really restricted visitors coming in, unless it's to pick up kids. But as we moved into late November, early December, we started opening up a little bit more to visitors coming in to speak to classes, we took the kids to the movie theater, and I know the mayor's not here this afternoon, but with the theater situation, we were able to utilize all the theaters, and we're trying to get back to normal, as normal, if what you call normal.
I understand.
We're really trying to provide those experiences to our students. But, you know, our kids really did a tremendous job with masking, even though nobody likes wearing a mask for 8 hours. But, you know, providing the lunch break, recess breaks, outside PE breaks, those types of things have all worked well for us. But, you know, we just, we're just kind of in a wait and see mode as we move into January. But, you know, when you reflect back and you look at what we've been through, you know, we're really focusing on lost instructional time from the previous year. You know, we do have grade levels. For example, our second grade class was the first COVID class, the kindergarten class. They got, remember when we had to close schools in March?
Sure.
They were in kindergarten. And then they came back in first grade as a hybrid. So really this year is their first really full-time educational experience in this setting. So, and we do have various other grades that were affected by that too. So we're really trying to concentrate the second semester on, you know, how can we continue to meet our kids' needs, you know, with that. But, yeah, when you look back, John, you know, we had a groundbreaking ceremony for the new elementary school.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic. And I think that shows that the school district is continuing to move forward in regardless of COVID. And that's really where we have to get to. We just can't let this thing continue to dictate what we're doing. It's... We've got a lot of good things and a lot of planning, and you know, we're moving forward each day.
I drove by in the dark, which doesn't have to be too late in the day these days. I drove by in the dark a couple of days ago, and I noticed, of course, the ground is all level. Are you still waiting on materials to get started? Is that where we are?
Well, right now, what we're waiting on, John, is Ameren is finishing up the site cleanup.
Okay.
Actually, the parking lot that the school district will use as its main staging area for the building is done. But they're cleaning up that northwest corner of the site. We hope that that should be done, you know, early January, the end of the month. And once we get that cleaned up and everything's put back to normal, we're looking at mobilizing in January. Get the site ready to go, and then you know, continuing to move forward. But getting materials is a challenge. The contractors are dealing with different vendors. You know, we have brick vendors, we have steel vendors, roofing. Believe it or not, roofing is a problem right now for insulation or roof brackets.
Mm.
In our last construction meeting, they were talking about if you have an immediate larger roof project to go to, you may not get it done this summer if you're waiting till now to get on the list because you can't find the material. So, you know, everything seems to be going, you know, according to the actual bidding that we had. We hope to, you know, start some dirt work depending upon the weather. And this is crazy weather. If you're telling me I'm playing golf in Illinois up until Christmas, there's something crazy going on. We don't know what January's going to have, but we hope to get mobilizing the site in January, John.
That sounds great. Our guests are Dr. Greg Furstenow, Superintendent of Schools in Litchfield, and Mr. James Tempe, the Administrator of HSHS St. Francis Hospital. We'll have more after these messages. All right, back with Dr. Furstenow and Mr. Tempe, at the hospital. It looks pretty.
Thank you. So, you know, last year we did take a little pause on during the pandemic on some of the things we were doing, but we decided this year that we wanted to help celebrate the season. You know, we are a Catholic hospital. We wanted to celebrate the birth of Christ for Christmas. And so we did have a live nativity last week that was very well attended. A lot of the community members came out to see that. And of course, the campus is all lit up at night. We did a little extra decorating this year. Our facilities and maintenance team did all that themselves. So it looks terrific. And we just wanted to bring a little joy to the community. If they want to drive through at night, they're more than welcome to. It's
well, year round, you have a beautiful entrance into the hospital. And I'm sure right now, I want to get up and take a closer look. That'll be on my agenda tonight when I leave here to go drive through and see it.
Sure. But, you know, our sisters over the years, they've always valued, you know, having a peaceful setting for the patients. That's why it was originally built out in the fields there. And so our goal is to have something for the patients both in-house and who are coming up to that's beautiful to look at, that puts them at ease and tries to promote healing from all different directions, spiritual and physical healing.
When the hospital was built, and you're right, it being set back off the highway there, I can only imagine what it was, you know,
well,
as
a, yeah,
the lot
pictures,
when you first started.
Yeah.
But the way it is now, to drive back there, it is gorgeous. But you also... they were wise enough at the time to give yourself room for expansion.
Right.
I mean, you have a large parking lot, and you need it. And you've expanded the hospital a couple of times. And not to mention all the work that you've done inside the hospital. This was a big year. The last 18 months, quite a few things have happened.
Absolutely. One of the biggest ones is right in the middle of the pandemic, we opened our new emergency room. And at first, you know, during the pandemic, it was not that busy, and we were like, oh, it was disappointing, but the not that we want lots of emergencies, but the now that COVID, you know, got stronger and we had several surges, that new emergency room has really been a blessing to the hospital. We needed those extra rooms and the easier workflow and the better setting for the patients. It's been great, so we've been really happy with that, and we've been just continuing to work on our updating our facility, you know, little by little as we go along. We of course have all the state of the art equipment that you'd have in any top hospital, but we want to make sure that it looks beautiful as well and stays up to date. So it's been a real nice course over the last couple of years.
Your specialist clinics continue to grow.
Mm-hmm. We certainly are. So our specialist clinics, we have a total each month of about 64 different clinics that run, and that's in addition to our ortho center that's 5 days a week every day. And that ortho center has five providers now. So they're, we really, you know, and our cancer center is booming. So the, you know, unfortunately cancer levels are going up. Our community does have a lot of that cancer patients, and now we're able to take care of all those people right here in-house. So it's just great to see people not have to travel for their appointments. I use the specialty clinics myself because it's so convenient. And it's great that we're going to keep continuing to add doctors and specialists and all of that, because we want to make sure that we're providing those services close to home.
Dr. First, now we just had the stories, and you've heard in the last couple of days, so many NFL games have been delayed because of COVID, because of the rapid advance of Omicron. We hear now that the NHL has said that our NHL players will not be able to go and play in the Olympics for their home country teams. And yet you guys have been very fortunate with your sports program. You really haven't had any issues at all. And overall, we've been fairly good, although we have canceled a few here at the station, including one tonight.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, again, it goes through protocols. You know, our kids want to play, and they want to participate. So I think they're doing the things that they need to do outside in the community and outside with their friends. But, you know, it goes back to the health department and the number of cases you have and how that's handled. you know, we've had some positives, but we've been able to test and utilize that program, the test to stay program, and you know, we hope we continue to be able to participate in those activities. But you know, you never know. You know, tomorrow I could get a phone call and say, hey, we got seven positives. But when you're looking at the protocols, if you have that many positives and you only have 12 or 13 players, well,
yeah,
that really dictates what happens. in terms of that.
So, well, that's kind of what happened tonight, I guess, yeah. Right, with the cancellation tonight for Lincolnwood, or yeah. Nokomis.
Yeah.
Nokomis.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that, you know, that's just what you got to do. You just, you know, you continue to mitigate. You continue to do the things that you need to do. You know, we've got a lot of tournaments coming up, too, and, you know,
sure.
There's a difference of individual games or tournament games, right? So we've got our fingers crossed, you know, as our boys will be going to Carlinville and the girls will be going up to Riverton, that we're able to continue to participate and do those activities that our kids and our coaches want to do.
Plus, you have your own tournament coming up at
yes,
the end
we
of
do.
January.
Yes, we do.
We
have the McGraw tournament, and I just saw on your following you guys on Twitter, John, I saw the pairings were released. So we're looking very forward to that tournament each year. That's a great tournament.
It's a great tournament. Yes, it is.
The McGraw family is a tremendous sponsor of the tournament. And it's fun when you look at the teams that are coming in. You've got some larger schools, you've got some smaller schools, and some mid-sized schools, and it's really good basketball.
It is, and it's always been it's consistent. It's always been the same time. We've had it, and this is how many years? 20 some years, isn't it? Or
29
even more?
Years.
29
like
years,
that, I think.
Wow. Tim is around, and he should stop in and say hi here. But unless he's gone, he's been here all day. The interesting thing about sports and health and administration, it's a real tightrope to walk, you know, because they're all tied together. You know, if you have this issue that we're dealing with now, but the games are scheduled, but the illness or the pandemic is not. And, you know, the sport has a location, but, you know, the disease, the pandemic runs everywhere it wants to go. Mm-hmm. So it's hard. It's really difficult, but you guys have done a great job. The hospital, I can't say enough about all of the hospitals in our area, how they're mm-hmm. dealing with everything. I mean, we get our stories every day and you hear them. There are so many things going on and so many people that jump to action, whether it's EMTs, whether it's, you know, emergency mm-hmm. rooms, whether it's ICUs, beds in a hospital, I need a ventilator. All these things that we've had to deal with since March of 2020, and not once have people not rose to the occasion, have not answered the bell. And that's something to really be cheering and cheerful about. It's a wonderful thing that we've dealt with this.
I have to agree with you on that. You know, I can tell you, I know the schools are the same way, but our, you know, the hospitals can never shut down, of course. So our colleagues, our nurses, our doctors, our support staff and of every type have worked from the beginning of this pandemic when they didn't know what it was or how deadly it might be or whatnot. And no one ever stepped out or decided they couldn't do it or anything like that. Everyone stepped up and decided that this was something they were going to confront head on for the community. And we have had plenty of staff members who've gotten, you know, COVID within the community and had to be out, but we still kept on going. They were, you know, I really think they were very brave from the beginning, and then I'm really proud of their everything they've done over the
yeah
2 years now.
Take a short break, and we'll be back in just a moment with our guest. All right, we are back with Dr. Furstenow and Mr. Tempe. You both tell me that you were down to the wire on your testing kits, and now they're here. They're here.
Yep, we have plenty of testing kits. What we found is that we do get our antigen testing kits from the state, mm-hmm. so they tend to come at the last minute, which probably isn't unusual for anything like that. But we have plenty of testing for our PCR testing, which is how you test for COVID positivity for firmly. We have that in house, but our, you know, there have been plenty of supply chain issues that are affecting everybody, you know, and not surprisingly, hospitals are affected as well, but we're, you know, whether it's drugs or syringes or everything else, they're all floating somewhere in the Pacific, but the But what we found is that because we're lucky being part of a system, we were able to leverage other resources and kind of move things around. So we haven't had any supply issues that can affect patients.
I don't want to make light of supply chain issues, but remember there was a time you couldn't get ketchup packets,
right.
I was told, you know. Right. Well, how about the school lunch program?
Well,
I mean,
yeah, our menus are subject to change depending upon what comes on the truck.
Yeah.
You know, our food service director can place an order, and you may only get a half a truck, and so you got to plan accordingly to that. So that's why we put out that disclaimer. Menus are subject to change due to the food supply chain, but we've been fortunate that we've hooked up with a local supplier that's been able to help us secure the food that we need to continue to operate. But we were, just like Jim, we had enough tests for the first week back. And we received our shipment yesterday. My nurses texted me and said the shipment's in, so we're good to go, started the second semester. But when you're cutting it that close, and depending upon the rules that we have to operate under, those tests are pretty important that we do have those.
Now, we started out the show talking about challenges being different, but yet kind of the same and the way you handle them. Here's another situation of challenges that are different, but they're challenges that you both have to face. In the case of the hospital, you're coming on to a period of several days between now to through Christmas and New Year's Day where it's holiday time, you've got maybe some people off, or you're dealing with holiday schedules, but the things still go on.
Absolutely.
In your case, at the schools, you're shut down for 8 or 9 days, and gosh only knows what you're going to deal with when you open the doors back on January the 3rd or 2nd or whatever day it is. So, I mean, they're both challenges, but they're different challenges, but they're both something that you have to deal with. Now, I'll start with you first. What do you anticipate when you open the doors to start the second semester? When the kids come back after they've been home, they've played, they've been outside, they've been everywhere without a mask, what do you expect?
Well, that's a good question. I think our team will meet on the 3rd, and we'll make sure we're geared up and ready to go. And, of course, the health department currently sends out a nightly list. So yeah, that'll be ultimately the thing that we take a look at, you know, up on over the weekend as well as on Monday. And then pretty much the buses will run Tuesday morning, as will cars, and we'll take kids in. And, you know, we'll see what symptoms or what symptoms we don't have. we'll do our normal staff testing. And, you know, we're planning just the day as usual. And, of course, I'm sure there'll be phone calls, but there's always phone calls in the morning if some students that are ill or not feeling well. That's one thing we have encouraged our parents, that if your children are not feeling well, don't send them to school. And if they do have some symptoms and that type of thing, call our nurses. Quite often they ask, you know, if they're running a fever or something of that nature. The handy thing is to go visit the medical profession and get a test. Or, you know, we test people in the parking lot. They can call up and we'll run out there and test the kids in the parking lot, and they wait 15 minutes for their results, and they go on. But that's the biggest thing. Just don't come to school if you're not feeling well.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you'll look at that, and you know, if you're not feeling well, stay home. It's not going to be held against you. We just don't need the local crud coming back in the building.
No, I understand. I understand. Now, Jim, are you looking at the next 10 days any different than you looked at the last month when this Omicron first came out, or you know, what are you doing different?
You know, we're just continuing on our same path. What we did do is we made sure, of course, that we have all the supplies we need for the next 2 weeks at the same level we've been using throughout the year. That's a little different than what we might do in a typical year when we know it's going to be quiet, you know. But the big thing is just, you know, for healthcare, December is always a really busy month. Even, you know, so if you work in healthcare, you know that December is going to be busy because everybody's insurance renews in January.
Oh, yeah.
So we always know that December, everybody's getting their last-minute stuff done for the year after their deductibles are paid up and everything. So I think for us, we're used to a busy December already. So
makes
it's
sense.
Not that different.
Okay.
But for during Christmas time, we are seeing, we know we're going to have a higher census in-house, so we've scheduled appropriately for that.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're both thinking ahead. That's, and so are all the parents and, everybody else. In the time we have left, I've run through my questions. And, of course, I've asked you to do about a third more than usual than we were expecting to do. But I know there are things that when you get the opportunity, you'd like to make sure the public knows about. So I'll start first with you, Jim.
Okay.
What would you like to say to everybody listening right now about things to expect at the hospital, things to look forward to, things to be careful for in 2022, anything you want to get off your chest, so to speak?
What I really want the public to know is that despite any kind of pandemic, any disease that is going around, flu season, whatever it might be, the hospital is always open for you. So we consider our place in the community a place of health. We don't want people to delay their health care, whether it's routine or otherwise. We've got everything taken care of to be safe for you, so it's always safe to come to the hospital and get care. Don't delay that, because we've seen a lot over the last 2 years of people who've unfortunately delayed their care quite a bit. We're seeing a much higher incidence of very serious illness because of that. We're seeing some illnesses that cannot be treated at this point because people waited too long. So we don't want to have that anything like that happen again. We want people to come get their health care. If you're not feeling well, come to your doctor, come to the emergency room, whatever you need to do, and make sure you take care of yourself in the new year. You know, even though there's things going on out in the outside world, we want you to be, you know, come to the place of health that's right here in town.
Okay. Dr. First now.
Well, I think when you look at the school district in terms of that, we've got a lot of exciting things that'll be happening with the new building, new programming, and continuing to talk about designing an early learning center for the district. And, you know, we have great kids. We are truly blessed. You know, I'm thankful for every day that I get the opportunity to work with a great staff, whether that be the teaching staff or the support staff, and then our kids. We truly have wonderful kids in the Litchfield School District who really depend upon us to provide the education for them to be successful and then go out into life and be successful. But we have great parents as well, and I'm thankful for the parents and their support. And through this pandemic, I know there are parents that disagree with some of the decisions that are made, but, you know, we've been blessed that, you know, we've been able to stay in school. We haven't had a lot of fighting or different things of that nature. Our kids come to school. They participate. You know, we had a great music program. So we're doing the things that we truly want to do for our kids. And we're going to continue to do that the second semester. You know, the staff is in the administration, the school board. Everybody's committed to meeting the needs of our kids. It's a partnership, and I guess, you know, to coin that phrase, takes a village, you know, to raise kids. Well,
oh,
that's
yeah.
what we're doing in Litchfield. And, you know, we have a great healthcare system. I know we've had... you know, I can't, you know, we have nurses that work in the hospital system or for the doctors that come in and sub for our nurses. Whenever we need a helping hand, this is in addition to their job,
yeah.
that they'll come in and help help our staff. Our medical doctors have been on call or on board with us to provide resources. So it isn't taking the entire village and you know, even the city and law enforcement, fire,
EMS.
The whole crew, EMS, it's everybody involved.
Well, and you're right, both of you, we are blessed. And I think we've fought this challenge from March 20 to the present pretty well. I guess now's not the time to back off, though. We want to make sure we hang in there and do what's right. And maybe that way, the more we do things right, the more the administrations will leave us alone. So, you know, we won't have mandates. We won't have other things. Let's just take care of ourselves. Thanks for being our guest today. We'll do this again in a couple of months. We'll see how the semester starts out. We'll get the mayor back with us again, and we'll go from there, okay?
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, John. And have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Oh, you know we will. We will. Most definitely. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Greg. And Dr. Firstnow, Mr. James Tempe from I'll Call You Doctor, I'll Call You, I'll Put You Over at Hillsboro. You know, I'm good at that.
You know, if there's one, I always tell the doctors, if there's one thing I never wanted to be, it was a doctor.
All right.